I have borrowed a well-known phrase for the title of my sermon this morning. Many people have heard it between a rock and a hard place for a long time. But many years ago in 1976, a book was titled This by Senator Mark Hatfield about the struggles of Christians who are in politics. You see, we Christians of all people are eternally caught between a rock and a hard place in such matters. That's because we have a dual citizenship. We travel through this world with two passports. The tension between the earthly realm and the heavenly never goes away. It's always there in everything we do, whether it's politics or taxes or just everyday living. Our text today is the first of four consecutive controversy or confrontational stories in Matthew's gospel, in which Jesus butts heads with religious authorities because people are trying to trap him. So you see, the authorities are out to trap him. They want to find a reason. And on this particular occasion, Jesus faces the best laid trap of all as the Pharisees and the Herodians confront him. Now, this is a very unusual mix of people. The Gospels mention only one other occasion in Mark 3:6 on which these two groups get together. There's little love lost between them. They do not like each other at all, but yet here they are on the same side. The Pharisees represent the religious establishment, and the Herodians represent their hatred for Roman political domination. It is AD 6. Rome had levied a poll tax against the Jews. And that tax had sparked many clashes between Romans and Jews. Now, the Pharisees despised this tax. They did not like it at all, while the Herodians supported it. And so by asking their question to Jesus, these two groups were throwing him into a classical no-win situation. They put him right in the middle. By answering, Jesus would give one or the other group reason to condemn him. So the tax could be paid only in Roman coins, which contained images and inscriptions that most Jews considered blasphemous. So Jesus asked for the legal tender with which the tax was paid. And guess who produced it? Not the Herodians who supported the tax, but the Pharisees. They were standing in their own sacred place, and they took that idolatrous coin from their own pockets, thereby acknowledging their reluctance to the emperor. But you see, Jesus' words rings out today when he says, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor, and to God the things that are God." And usually you've probably heard it say, "Give therefore to Caesar those things which are Caesar's, and to God those things which are God." So Jesus is not dividing the world into two realms or two sovereigns. He says no. Nor is he declaring a doctrine or of separation of church and state. That issue comes out of the 18th century Enlightenment Act many, many years later. But in first century Israel, there is no separation of religion and state. All government is under God's authority and God's judgment because everything is God's. You see, Christians, you and I have struggled with our obligations to the state from the very beginning of time. At the time in which Matthew is writing, some of the Roman emperors are proclaiming themselves as divine, and they are requiring that all citizens say, "Caesar is Lord." Now, most Christians would not do this. They said, "Oh, no way, I can't do that. I cannot say that he is Lord." And their first and greatest confession is, "Jesus is Lord." You see, during this time, and then years and years later, for centuries, Christians have been martyred because of this, by not calling someone Lord. So Polycarp was one of those great second century bishops who was martyred for the cause. Because Polycarp said this about Jesus, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I deny my King and my God?" But you see, the thing about Polycarp that is kind of interesting is that he was burned at the stake, or was supposed to be burned at the stake. They bound him. He told them there was no need of that. He stood in the market square where most people were burned at the stake. They were backed up to a pole, and their hands were tied, sometimes their neck, their feet. And then the wall of wood was piled up around them, and it was set fire. And of course, they were burned at the stake. But the thing that happened with Polycarp, he said, there's no need to bind me. I will stand. And he stood there. Through history, it says that he stood there. They put the wall of wood around him, and it began to burn, but it did not burn him. It burned all around him. It said it didn't even singe a hair on his head. And the fire soon burned itself out. And the people that were trying to kill him were so upset and angry that they took him away from there, and someone plunged a knife into his chest and stabbed him. And the story says that the blood flowed so much that the rest of the fire went out. Polycarp was killed in February of AD 155 in Smyrna, Turkey, which is Asia Minor. He gave his life because he was not willing to say that somebody else was Lord and King. We think about how somebody could stand up for something, and it happens even today, people that are martyred for their beliefs. But he said to him, I have served him for 86 years. He's done me no wrong. How then can I deny my King and my God? How can I let him go? How can I say that someone else is my Lord? You see, through the centuries, most rulers have mixed experiences with Christians. Much of the time, they have regarded them as excellent citizens. They don't burn flags. They pay taxes and they're honest. They're law-abiding and hardworking. But on some issues, Christians have not been compliant, particularly where the state has tried to claim ultimate authority over life. The state and the church have different centers of authority, and so will always be in conflict. In 1934, the Confessing Church of Germany stated their position plainly in their Berman Declaration. It says, we repudiate the false teaching that there are areas of our life in which we belong not to Jesus Christ, but another Lord. A young scientist at that time who was not a Christian, who had immigrated to the United States, praised the example of these Christians. And he said, only the churches stood squarely across the path of Hitler's campaign for suppressing the truth. This young scientist's name was Albert Einstein. He said, I support what I see, that only the churches stood squarely against Hitler. They stood up. You see, Jesus points to a kind of citizenship that is time for the world to adopt. It is centered on a primary allegiance to God. Without an allegiance, all of our other loyalties become twisted. They become twisted, they become confused because we're not truly serving and putting our allegiance to God. Still today, we are between a rock and a hard place. Do we stand up for Christ in all places, all circumstances, or all situations? Jesus calls us to be his children and follow him faithfully in all that we do. The next time you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, which way will you go? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much this day for who you are in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you give it to us so freely, that you allow us to serve you in all that we do, that you allow us, Lord, that opportunity to speak up and to speak out when we see wrongs being done, when we stand in the gap for someone else, when we see an injustice happening in our world, when we are able to make a difference, that we stand up and make a difference, that we serve you in all that we do each and every day, not just when someone's watching, but in everything. So, Lord, continue to open up our hearts and our minds. Continue to prepare us for all that you have for us. Remind us each day, for it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.